Topic 29, Criticism. 1. Why is non-criticism regarded as so essential a requirement? Because in a sudden burst of critical thought, the entire personality can be galvanized into a potent coordination, but of a wrong kind, and with disastrous results. Because criticism, being a faculty of the lower mind, can hurt and wound, and no man can proceed upon the way as long as wounds are made and pain is knowingly given. Because the work of white magic and the carrying out of hierarchical purpose meets with basic hindrances in the relations existing between its workers and disciples. In the pressure of the present opportunity, there is no time for criticism to exist between workers. They hinder each other, and they hinder the work. I urge upon all those who read these instructions to forget their likes and their dislikes, and to overlook the personality hindrances which inevitably exist in themselves and in all who work upon the physical plane, handicapped by the personality. I urge upon all workers the remembrance that the day of opportunity will not last forever. The pettiness of the human frictions, the failures to understand each other, the little faults which have their roots in the personality and which are, after all, ephemeral, the ambitions and illusions must all go. If the workers would practice detachment, knowing that the law works and that God's purposes must come to an ultimate conclusion, and if they would learn never to criticize in thought or word, the salvaging of the world would proceed apace, and the new age of love and illumination would be ushered in. From A Treatise on White Magic, pages 560 through 561. 2. One of the major faults of disciples today is the paying of too close attention to their faults, errors, and activities of other disciples, and too little attention to their own fulfillment of the law of love and to their own dharma and work. Today, the neophyte must learn the same lesson of attention to personal perfection and to personal work through the means of that inner silence which broods over the disciple and forces him to attend to his own work and business, leaving others to do the same, and so learn the lesson of experience. A great deal of present right activity is hindered by the speech interplay between disciples, and much time is lost through wordy discussion of the work and activities of other disciples. Humanity as a whole needs silence at this time as never before. It needs time in which to reflect and the opportunity to sense the universal rhythm. Modern disciples, if they are to do their work as desired and to cooperate with the plan correctly, need that inner reflective quiet which in no way negates intense outer activity, but which does release them from wordy criticisms, feverish discussions, and constant preoccupation with the Dharma, the motives, and the methods of their fellow disciples. From A Treatise on the Seven Rays, Volume 2, Esoteric Psychology 2, pages 43 through 44. 3. Criticism is a virulent poison. It damages in every case, eventually, the one who criticizes, owing to the fact of voiced direction. It hurts still more the one who is criticized. Where there is purity of motive, true love, and a large measure of detachment, the subtler bodies of the one who is under attack may remain immune, but the physical effects will be definite, and where there is any physical weakness or limitation, there will be found the localization of the projected poison. Unvoiced criticism is very dangerous, for it is powerfully focused and strongly, though not individually, directed. It issues continuously and as a steady stream, sent forth on the wings of jealousy, ambition, pride in a personal grasp of a supposed situation, and a belief that the one who criticizes is in a position to understand correctly and could, given the opportunity, take right action. From A Treatise on the Seven Rays, Volume 2, Esoteric Psychology 2, page 617. 4. Watch with care your thoughts about each other, and kill out at once all suspicion, all criticism, and seek to hold each other unwaveringly in the light of love. From Discipleship in the New Age, Volume 1, page 10. 5. Criticism is wholesome as long as it is not permitted to become destructive. From Discipleship in the New Age, Volume 1, page 786. 6. There are times when criticism is unquestionably a recognition of fact. This means that a criticizing disciple has reached the point where his judgment is based on love, that it produces no personality effect in his own life or that of his fellow disciple. It is simply a loving recognition of limitation and only becomes wrong when these undoubted facts are used to arouse criticism in the unqualified and provide points for discussion. From Discipleship in the New Age, Volume 1, page 725.